they don't understand. They fear they'll lose so much if you take my hand. But for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose the door. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd lose the door. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change. My hidden treasure chest, golden grand piano, my beautiful Castillo. You, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all. Ooh, for you, ooh, you, ooh, I'd leave it all.
Hey kids.
Hi friends.
This is 91.5 FM, Demi Ruffo in Medford. I'm Peter.
We've got Peter.
Helen.
No Paul. Just Helen.
Just Peter, Mary, and...
Helen.
And Helen.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing, Mary?
I'm well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good. Yes. That's good. So, Paul McCartney couldn't be here with us today. He's
on maternity leave. Really did him in.
Yeah, that and his
the
new baby.
Maternity leave, yes.
So, I just want to give a quick shout out to my boy, literally my boy, How to Dress Well, got some great bars. This is the Peter and Helen's Lifetime Achievement Award.
Show.
Really just some great music out there. I wanna point out the you know, a great recommendation by How to Dress Well. Mozart Rick, up and coming rapper from the streets of Wellesley, Massachusetts.
Literally the streets.
Literally the streets.
So this is the Lifetime Achievement Award episode. And while our show hasn't garnered enough capital to be giving out awards just yet, we need to give it some time, we can discuss some past awards and people who we would give a Lifetime Achievement Award to. Peter, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'd give like a Tony to, who's that guy that plays Gandalf?
Ian McKellen? Sir,
no,
Ian
no, 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 not that one.
Ewan McGregor?
Yes. Yeah, you see, so most people think of Ian McKellen as the main player of Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
But
you see, I'm talking about the original Lord of the Rings.
Gandalf, you know, in Trainspotting.
Exactly.
Yes. What many people don't know is that Gandalf actually appears in the background of Trainspotting, and he was really a big mover and shaker in the early days of the film.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Act One, right in the toilet, mm-hmm. he just kind of pops out, just grabs Ewan.
That scene wouldn't be there if not for him.
If not for him. So I'd like to give a few updates to our guests today. We've got a great show coming up.
We have
some great bars from Mozart Rick. Mm. He actually just produced the new mixtape from Hamburger Helper, Watch the Stove.
Yes.
got some fire tracks in there. Like what my friend would call, and I quote, "Dude, it's straight fuego."
And who was quoted as saying that? Was it Theodore Roosevelt?
No, that was Miller Shulman.
Easy to get the two confused.
Yes, I mean, well, you see, most people...
They both love South America.
You see, this is the thing. Most people confuse Theodore with FDR.
It's true. They sound so similar. You know, and, you know, if you're transcribing Russian and different dialects into English, even easier to confuse.
Exactly.
I mean, we all know Fyodor. And what,
so Dostoevsky
like
actually served as the vice president of the Better Business Bureau for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Fun fact.
Yeah, I mean, where else?
Those Russian writers.
Where else would he have gotten the idea for the Brothers Karamazov?
Yeah, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn. Before he wrote the Gulag Archipelago, he actually wrote The Jungle.
Yeah.
About malpractice, so it was about like fast food malpractices and KFCs across the globe.
Exactly.
Insane stuff. Did you know that there's like rats and stuff running around in KFCs in like 1921?
It's true. And actually, did you know that Colonel Sanders he wasn't real. He's actually based on the Russian author Gogol.
Oh, really? I thought I was under the impression that Colonel Bernie Sanders was actually based off of what's that guy's name, Joseph Conrad, in Apocalypse Now.
Close. Yeah, you know, there's been some debate over it, but honestly, I trust the former. I actually read a great dissertation about how it couldn't be Joseph Conrad, because Joseph Conrad is much more similar to a major or a captain. He wouldn't be a colonel.
I agree. So, we're currently in the midst of setting up some great music for you kids to listen to.
It's true.
I'd like to take this time to give a shout out to another Lifetime Achievement Award winner who we were speaking about earlier, Miller Shulman. 31st Vice President of the United States. So what I was saying earlier is that most people confuse Miller Shulman with Lyndon B. Johnson, because Miller was Vice President under Theodore Roosevelt. LBJ was Vice President under FDR, mm-hmm. and then, you know, FDR had syphilis and died in his sleep before he finished his fifth term in office. So
what a shame.
Two different people, yet such similar lives.
Yeah, I think it really...
They were both white, capitalist.
Yeah, I think it really attests to the fact that...
Very into tapas.
People aren't that different. I mean, if you put out a survey and you said, do you like tapas? Have you worked as some kind of vice president? The answer is astoundingly in favor of that being the majority.
Yeah. And we have data from the Rockefeller Foundation.
We do.
From the Pew Charitable Trusts.
Yeah.
From...
viewers like you.
Exactly. Viewers like you. We have PBS data. We have BBC polling data. Mm-hmm. You know, all the major polls. Washington Post.
Archives from monastic libraries.
Exactly.
Because, you know, this also isn't a new study. Like many people think it is. It really harkens back to the early modern period.
And they all concluded, you know, all roads lead to tapas.
Exactly. I think something, you know, that changes everything, but it also changes nothing.
Yeah. Very postmodern.
Mm. But at the same time, very early modern.
Mm. Love that. It's like almost gothic.
Yeah.
It's almost American.
It has gothic. The far reaches of gothic architecture.
It's almost Native American gothic.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, by Edward Hopper.
Interesting.
Have you heard that single?
I have.
You guys should go and grab the newest Edward Hopper mixtape. Mm. It's called Nightingale. And that's some great, great early American singles. It was produced and written in the vein of, you know, early American 20th century modernism.
Yeah,
but
Kate
Chopin. such some beautiful, such
She's
some
featured
beautiful.
On it.
Yeah, I think Ansel Adams had a few features on it. She spit some bars.
Mary Cassoulet.
Yeah,
featured.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. Yeah, Ansel Adams. Just what a songstress.
Mm, you don't for have those, to tell me.
For those of you who don't know, Ansel Adams, singer songwriter, 1945 to 1989. She died young. You know, she was
tragic.
Really. She lived in the Chelsea Hotel. She really has some great, great music. They actually wrote an autobiography about her.
Really?
Yeah, it's called, what was that one called?
Singing for My Mistress.
I think it was called, right. like, When Is We Were it? Kids or something.
When We Were Kids.
Mm. Give me 1 second to look this up, guys. I mean, I'm telling you, this Ansel Adams autobiography.
Are you getting it confused with Patsy Cline's book, Just Kids?
No. Actually, I think you're getting confused.
Am I?
Patsy Cline's book is called Just Adolescence. Ansel Adams' autobiography was called Just Kids.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, you see...
How can they do
Ansel,
this to us?
Ansel, not an elitist.
Not an elitist at
and that's, and that's
all.
Why we
in his references,
so much.
I think in his attitude, I actually had cocktails with him once.
Who, Ansel?
Yeah.
It's a she.
Not when I knew
them. Oh, okay.
And you know, they could be quite elitist in person, but their references are democratic, for the people, by the people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I have to say, I mean, Ansel was part of that era. You know, they called the dodos.
Yeah,
and you know, that was along the time when there was, like, you know, the Brooklyn Boulders,
mm-hmm.
the you know, all those you know, it was like a British mania.
You could call it that.
It was like fifth wave British invasion back then.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're on like 15th wave, you know, with like, you know, Oasis.
No,
have you guys heard their new single Wonderwall? It's great.
Some great.
Oh, so good. We should play that.
Mm-hmm.
We should play that.
Actually, it's interesting because the timeline of the British invasions are not linear. So while we are in the 15th invasion, the 18th invasion actually already happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's
with Adele.
I mean, yes. Oh my God. Let's not even talk about Adele. Adele Adams. I love Adele Adams. Oh my God. Ansel. So for those of you who don't know, Ansel's little sister, Adele Adams,
mm-hmm.
She goes by just Adele.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Have you guys heard her new album, 35? So good.
It's great.
I Set Fire to the Rain. Oh my God.
It was actually a big inspiration for the TV show 30 Rock.
Just, I, you know, it just blows my mind.
Yeah.
How good it can be.
I mean, she was truly a one-woman invasion wave.
Absolutely.
Nothing at all like the multiple front War of 1812. Nothing at all like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the third wave of the British invasion.
Yeah. And, you know, third wave, so passe.
Yeah.
So passe.
You really don't hear it being talked about in any circles, academic or casual. It's just not of any interest to anyone anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that pendulum will swing back. But for now, I think we know all there is to know with our modern technology.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the historiography is just, it just isn't there because it's not interesting enough.
Exactly.
I mean, there really only is one narrative, mm-hmm. you know? There's not multiple narratives.
There's no, you know, War of 1811.5. You know, it's just, it hasn't been found. It's not there right now. And honestly, most historians don't have reason to believe that it ever was.
Exactly. And so on that note, we're going to play some Hot Fire tracks by our boy How to Dress Well and Mozart Rick. And we're going to go with I'm in Love with the Glove.
Here we go.
I catch the paper boy when things don't really change.
Hey kids.
We're back.
We're back. It's another solid hour of beautiful programming.
Absolutely. Curated programming for our viewers.
Like you. What's on the docket today, Helen?
On the docket today? Well, I think we need to decide if French provincial cooking is in or out.
That's the first thing. Can you elaborate on what province? Normandy and Nice have very different types of cuisine.
Exactly, but I think when I think of French provincial, I think
of...
Is it
Provençal?
I do. I think of Provençal cooking as well. So we're thinking about Provence, the wine, the herbs. And what I want to know is that in? It was earlier in the winter.
It's
but I really feel like it's turning over to Portuguese fusion.
Yes. Let me tell you a little bit about Portuguese fusion.
Okay, please.
You know, see, I...
Should we call Miller?
Yes, we should. You see, I started... When I started in 1969 as a sous chef under Mario Batali at his restaurant, Babo. I was classically trained.
I thought it was pronounced Bilbo.
Yes, at his restaurant Bilbo. My apologies. I was a classically trained chef, and I was trained in the French ways. You know,
oh.
I made bouillabaisse. I made ratatouille.
Uh-huh.
I made the four mother sauces.
Uh-huh.
Most people are familiar with hollandaise.
Who is it?
You know, which is in the Benedict Arnold's.
Mm-hmm.
But most
it
people.
It was his favorite food, actually.
But most people don't know about Provençal cooking, which is, you know, very hearty. It's a lot of tomato.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of basil.
Actually, I have a map that I wish I could show our viewers. But I'll show it to you.
Yeah.
Because I think it'll be of some use to you in this ongoing study.
I just have to say that in the last decade, we've really been trying to make the push towards Portuguese fusion, because there's just the possibilities are endless.
Exactly, and I think you'll notice on the map I just showed you that all of Portugal is in the delineated tomato Europe,
yes.
Whereas only about a fourth or a third of France is in tomato Europe, and the rest is in potato Europe. And, you know, starches are out.
Yes, they're a little too hearty.
Serving someone a starch right now is a big faux pas, even on a winter's day like this one.
It's just too hearty.
Exactly. It's too, you know, this isn't Ireland in the 1700s. No. Eating a potato feels like eating a rock.
No, exactly. It's like, have a little respect for yourself. At least you could make risotto.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You could at least be eating brioche.
See, I don't conflate the two, because, you know, brioche is a rich bread. So when you go from a risotto to a brioche, you're adding a sugar element that I really think is up for debate.
Well, you see, in my carb dichotomy, it's really about, you know, elitist carbs and plebeian carbs,
and the potato,
the starches. It's just so passé. It's like you can get a potato these days, maybe 50 cents a pound.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 cents a tot.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of flavor is in that? What kind of skill? What kind of emotion am I eating it? Nothing.
It is,
you know,
not
what I'm eating?
A poet's food.
I'm eating tabula rasa.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, tabula rasa, great dish.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be eating tabula. I want to be eating something a little bit more flavorful,
mm-hmm.
something on the more hummus side of things.
Exactly.
And you know what? And that's where Portuguese fusion comes in.
Or even a beet puree.
Now, let me tell you, you see the newest trend in Portuguese fusion tapas,
mm-hmm.
it's port-infused hummus.
Interesting.
Yes, port-infused.
So when you say
hummus.
Port-infused, are you talking about, you know, the port of Lisbon?
No,
or are you talking about the liqueur?
Well, first of all, Lisbon isn't a port. I'm talking about Oporto.
Okay.
And secondly, I am talking about the wine. Some of you may know it as sherry. Others may know it as, you know, by whatever other names they go in the other languages. I'm just going to refer to it as port. And it is absolutely beautiful. You know, the port really just adds a complexity in the flavor. It adds a certain je ne sais quoi. to and it just it's amazing. Huh. You know, in my 50 years as head chef at Shake Shack, I have to say that port is probably one of our secret ingredients. Now, don't tell. Now, for those of you that are listening out there, don't tell anyone I said that. But we here at Shake Shack, we actually put port on everything. So, Steve, could you tell me a little bit more about your time with Mario? You know, you talked to us a lot about with cuisine today. What's going on with you know, how's your relationship with Mario and you know, our fan favorite Guy Fieri these days? Well, you see, Joseph.
Saint-Jean-Fou.
It's a je ne sais quoi in Portuguese. I thought it was more apt.
Yes.
Saint-Jean-Fou.
Well, that sounds naughty, Helen. So Kevin, to answer your question, you know, I think we're really going on a food revolution here. Mm. And I have to say, if I had to give the Lifetime Achievement Award, as you know, this episode is based on, to a chef, it would definitely be Guy Fieri. I mean, he has done so much, you know, for fast food chains out there. Mm. I mean, really bringing fast food from the masses.
Farm to table.
Yeah, masses to the 1%.
He coined the phrase farm to table. Exactly. And it's from the farm, the lower classes, to the table. The table is off of the ground and farms are in the ground.
Exactly.
So it's actually a much bigger metaphor than people take it as.
And I have to say, me and Guy, we go way back to, we actually interned under Jiro. Mm. Those of you may know him as Jiro Dreams of Burgers.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, so we actually interned back in the, I think it was the summer of 89.
Now tell me, during that internship.
No, it was the summer of 69.
Oh, well, you know, what wasn't?
I mean.
So during that internship, you know, he dreams of burgers, and so he actually works with cognitive processes more than he talks about. And actually, in the winter of 68, he had released a paper talking about the relationship of food and dreaming, and, you know, what foods you should eat to elucidate lucid dreaming, and some other things. And did that ever come up in your internship, or did he kind of shove that aside for the clamor for new fast food in the summer of 69?
Actually, the appropriate term is nouveau fast food.
Okay. Interesting.
And you see
another French influence.
Yeah, well,
you know, I just can't,
you know,
get away from them.
Surprisingly, well, what most people don't know is that the inspiration for nouveau fast food by Guy Fieri actually came from his meeting with Ansel Adams back in back in 65.
Interesting.
Yeah, they were both living in the Chelsea Hotel, and you know, it was
the Rolling Stones made them French fries, and that was that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they had cod caviar, and the rest was history. The rest was just history.
I love that.
He was like, I got French fries, I got cod caviar. I'm thinking, you know,
it's the poutine of New York.
Cod caviar French fries.
It's the poutine of New York.
Well, some could say it's also the Boston of New England.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know.
All right.
Apt metaphors here. Yeah. I mean, for those of you out there who don't, you know, have that training in you know, French cuisine, you know, traditional cooking. Mm-hmm. These references may be going above your head, so
which is okay. Just, you know,
yeah, which is okay, which is fine. You just have to go with
you
it.
Have the
and
internet.
I'd say you should go to www.twitter.com and follow KVNNGN. Absolutely best-selling author, great cook. For those of you that are familiar with the chicken soup series, you know, chicken soup for the teenage pregnant mom's soul, chicken soup for, you know, the white male soul, things like that. He's actually been the author of all these books, and he has some great work out there. I encourage you all to follow him on Twitter, and you'll learn a lot. I mean, And I mean, the guy's a genius. Everything from art history to Provençal cooking to even fusion tapas. I mean, he's got a repository
of knowledge.
That's really
the spectrum of all human activity.
Exactly. Yes. So on deck today we've got some hot bars by an old friend of mine, Tom Krell, also known as How to Dress Well.
All right.
I didn't know you knew Tom Krell, but let's put it on.
Full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead. All right. This is 91.5 FM WMFO.
away the pain of being a hopeless unbeliever. La la la.
So we're going to read a little PSA.
PSA.
Annoyed by all the noise from planes departing Logan Airport.
Logan Airport. No, no, I'm not.
Are you annoyed by the greatly increased airplane noise from flights departing Logan Airport these days?
No.
Our towns west of Boston are affected by increased airplane noise due to the FAA's Highways in the Sky decision in June of 2013. This means that every single airplane departing from runway 33L on days with northwest winds continues on four narrow paths over specific neighborhoods with near constant noise as a result. Boston West Fair Skies is trying to change this and will hold its next monthly meeting on Monday, April 11th from 7 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. at the Winchester Public Library, 80 Washington Street in Winchester. For more information, please visit bostonwestfairskies.org on the web. A public service message from Boston West Fair Skies and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
WMFO!
WMFO!
Not a one part.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. So, we're going to end the show today with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of our mood.
Little
I mean,
Blue October.
Most of you probably know out there that we're feeling a little tired this week.
You might have heard it in our voices.
Yeah,
lilt.
We're going to apologize a little for that. So, we're going to put on some great ending tracks for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is American Idiot by Tool.
Here we go.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one and I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk up. My shadow's only one that walks beside me.
I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one.